program is a paid advertisement. The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth!
Yeah, you keep telling me that.
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Clouds.
King of Clouds.
The Colossus of Clouds. The Colossus of Clouds.
Babe Ruth!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Eric Ostrowski. We're on every Sunday morning from now from our old time, the new time, 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. The number's 312-332-3776. You can give us a call if you think you have something that has any value. We have a nice different prize this week, a Mike Trout bobblehead we're giving away. Last week, people seemed to be happy that we were giving away a Chris Bryant bobble, so we got the Mike Trout bobblehead. I can get these through my website, tcrowntom.com. There's Cubs playoff gear there now, but we're not giving any away. Any of that stuff.
They
They're
had a
actually
combo, bobblehead doll of Chris Bryant and Rizzo on your side as well.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. That just came up there. That was pretty cool. Yep. So we're giving away Mike Trout, this generation's Willie Mays, I would say Mike Trout is. I mean, he's leading all players in WAR, the best player in baseball right now.
Great defensive
all
player
around.
As well, too. So.
Yeah, he really is. Too bad he's on a lousy team in the West Coast, and we don't get to see him play that often, actually. But now also at HugginsandScott.com, the previews are starting up there now for the October-November Huggins and Scott auction. Bidding starts October 31st, goes through 11-10, November 10th. So I'm going to start mixing in some of the items that are the cool stuff that's on there already. For instance, a 1783 George Washington Revolutionary War era signed discharge certificate. $5,000 minimum bid on that. You don't see those walking into T Crown every day, Bill. That must have been cool when that walked into Huggins and Scott, huh?
Yeah, no, I think it was George himself brought that in.
Yeah. How'd the wig look and the wooden teeth? Are they still hanging in there okay?
Well, he had a mohawk that.
Yeah, right. I watched that show on AMC that my wife and I like. I don't think anybody else in the country likes
Turn.
We're about the, and they have a really goofy George Washington actor in that part. I like the show. It's got some cool scenes that really make you feel like you're back in the Revolutionary War era. Now, if I had the money, all I'd need to do is have the George Washington document, and I could jump right into the TV and be there. So anyway, the number here is 312-332-3776. You can call us with a question about the value of your collectibles. And you can tweet me an item. TCrownTom is my Twitter ID. If you tweet a picture of an item to my attention and we use it on the show, you also get in the drawing. Now, or if you bring in stuff during the week to Triple Crown in Naperville, I'm there 6 days a week, and we use the item on the show, you also get in the drawing. For instance, Bill from Lansing, who's a regular listener to the show, he was all up with the time change, didn't seem to bother him that we were moving to the earlier time. And he came in kind of a neat baseball that he had. It was a 1975 old timers game. He got a bunch of different signatures on it, but the big one on there was Satchel Paige. And then Bob Feller was on there, which he signs a lot of stuff, but it was still kind of, Bob Feller had dated it. I think it was June of 1975 that all these different guys signed it. Josh saw it. I think he thought it might be 700 to 1100 or something in that range. So pretty cool baseball. And he also had a first edition book signed by Stan the Man, Stan Musial, and the author Bob Brogue. I saw a Musial book signed by Stan that the cover was in better shape and everything, only sold for about $75. So even with the author on there, probably in the $100 range for that one. But the baseball was good. Nice value to that one. And we have Jason from Paxton, Illinois on the line. What do you have there, Jason? Thanks for the call.
Good morning, Tom. As you've seen before, I have that 8th grade yearbook from Kobe Bryant's best friend.
Those
Lakers. And, you know, since I've talked to you, Kobe Bryant himself confirmed it through Steve Grad that he wrote that as a 13-year-old 8th grader.
Wow.
So, something to add to my question, and you saw that yearbook. I tweeted it to you before. But
yes, I remember that.
To add to my question, I was the winner of that Michael Jordan poem that he wrote as an 8th grade 13-year-old that went up in Golden Auction this summer. I won it. So now I have two. I have a 13-year-old signature of Kobe Bryant and a 13-year-old signature of Michael Jordan.
Wow. I'll have to see if I can dig out a 13-year-old T-Crown Tom item for that.
You might be starting a trend in the collectible industry.
Yeah, actually, that's kind of neat.
From famous superstars.
Now, have you had any estimates on your Kobe, that yearbook?
Not yet, but I'm interested to see. I ask everybody, and that poem, that Jordan poem he wrote, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, and it was, you know, they talked about it on all the websites coming up to the auction golden. But in any case, it comes with a letter from the Basketball Hall of Fame stating that he wrote it in grade school.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
And a JSA certified as well. But my question is, in a fire or in a, you know, what do you think holds more value in the future? Or what would you rather have?
Okay, so if there's a fire in your house and you can only save one, personally, I'm saving the Michael Jordan. I don't know about you, Bill. What would you save?
I would say if you had to put Jordan and Kobe next to each other, Jordan wins.
Yeah, yeah. Vince, you're making that unanimous.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's your Kobe thing isn't a cool thing. I mean, that would have great value in an auction, but... as good as Kobe was, he was a level or so behind what Michael was. I have a neat Kobe card that I think this, once again, I might be the only. Now, this was from Kobe's second year, and it's a Fleer Ultra card, and it's supposed to be the front. It's supposed to be a gold medallion parallel of Kobe, and Kobe's up in the air like for a dunk type thing. It's a great shot of Kobe. But the cool part about this, and I saved a regular gold edition card, I saved a regular card, and then I've got this one. The foil, the gold foil is missing on the front of the card, and I had Beckett grade it just to put that in, you know, that it was... That's what it was, and it's got a really cool black and white look to it, but it says gold medallion on the back, and when you see it next to the other two cards, it looks cool.
Oh, that's cool.
And the thing about it, ever since that time, I've been looking gold medallion ultra missing foil.
Oh.
Not only have I never seen another Kobe, the only one I've ever seen of anybody was an Antoine Walker about 15 years ago.
Wow.
But it's kind of like, how do you can't say it's a one of one. I think it really might be a one of one, but you can't say it is. What do you think about an item like that, Bill? Is it one of those things that I will go to my grave just thinking, wow, I got this neat Kobe card. Do you think there'll ever be something that might be some value to it?
Well, it's one of those things that the only way you're going to find out what it's worth is to try and sell it.
Yeah.
And at that point, then, unfortunately, maybe Tom doesn't own it anymore, which may not be an option. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Does it seem like the foil rubbed off? Or they
No. I pulled it out of a pack myself.
Okay, gotcha.
And when I got it at the time, I was like, this is a cool card. And it's like, wait a minute, something's not right here. Now, they have platinum cards that year, I think they are, where they're numbered to, is it 100? But anyway, the platinum Kobe from that year sells for over $1,000.
Wow.
So that makes me think, hey, you know, if I was going to maybe throw that on eBay, maybe I throw a $3,900 buy it now best offer. Yep. If I don't get something that I like, then it stays with me till my grave. You know? I guess that's the only way I could really do it. I don't know. I don't know. But
that's a cool card, though, to have.
It is cool, and I like it, and I probably like the fact that I pulled it, too, and I know exactly what it is, and I've been looking at it all that time. I think it's a cool Kobe card. And Kobe was a great player, without a doubt. We have Brian from Buffalo Grove on the line. What's new, Brian? What do you have?
Hi, guys. I got a Frank Thomas signed jersey.
A game-worn Frank Thomas signed jersey?
No, not a game-worn. No.
Okay. Yeah, just an official White Sox jersey, the white home jersey?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. What are those? Maybe $200-$300 now? He's not a difficult signature, you know, a great Hall of Famer, got voted the White Sox best first baseman of all time, you know, just because he's such a great hitter. And he'll always be popular as a White Sox collectible, but he's pretty easy to get. I think he's in the area a lot. He was part of a bar or something that he opened, and he was there a lot. So
near Boone,
I don't even know if it's still going or what's going on with that.
As time goes by, will he get more credit for being just a slugger in the PED era?
You would think. I think that's a big thing with him. You would think that he should, because he was vocal about that too. You know, did all mine the whole time through his whole career. He was always such a big guy, just because he was a big guy. But he didn't look like a. Of course, you know. Another guy that did do PEDs that didn't look like it was Rafael Palmeiro. Yeah. That was the big surprise to me when.
And he was very outspoken that he never touched the anything.
Yeah, until
and,
that. And then it was like, oh, well, it oops.
Be a liar.
Yeah, maybe I did. Yeah. Now, in the Huggins and Scott October, November auction, I love this. You know I love this. There's a Mo Berg single sign baseball. I guess, Bill, there's only one of only two known. And then you guys, in the description at HugginsandScott.com, I tweeted a picture of this and did a link to it. But in the description, they have, in his seven languages, they have two, how it's said, like, do, duo, do, dizwe, you know, all those things. Hey, whoever thought of that, Bill, I think that was a great idea. And then they have a couple of the wacky stories about Mo Berg, how he can speak. One player said along the way he can speak seven languages, but he can't hit in any of them. and the wacky Casey Stengel, who he was wacky enough that he basically had his own language. They called it Stengelese, and he calls Mo Berg the weirdest guy in baseball. It's like, okay. But real character, and there's a movie starring Paul Rudd as Mo Berg coming out. The Catcher Was a Spy, I think, is what it's going to be called. There was a book with that title about Mo Berg. This, I hope it's as good as it could be. Because with the fact that he was a spy for the U.S. government, FDR, I guess, said, you know, when they were doing the tour of Japan, and FDR said, say hello to the catcher or something. It was like, the catcher? Mo Berg, you can't hit in any language. Yeah, what do you mean? But I guess he was a spy for the U.S. taking pictures of Japan.
Wow.
And a genius, a real character. I hope this movie's as good as this. I don't get excited about movies coming out very often, but this one could be really good. But check out that baseball too, Bill. Don't you think that the potential's big for that to go for a lot of money?
Oh yeah, I was surprised when I think Jimmy said it only had one other exemplar that he'd ever seen. As far as a single sign ball,
you
see him a lot on team balls when he played for the different teams.
Yeah.
But, gosh, a single sign, that was some heavy forethought on somebody who got that sign. I don't know if either of you have ever been to, in D.C., they have the Spy Museum there, which is a pretty amazing place.
Oh,
they have
no.
They have a whole little wing on Mo Berg.
Well, do they really? Wow. That's neat. I didn't know.
All sorts of neat little things, I guess, that he used, as far as, I don't know if they even have like the shoe phone that he got from Maxwell Starr.
That's right. That's right, Chief. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Now, If I ever do make it to Washington, D.C., I'm going there for sure.
Absolutely.
Brian from Porter, Indiana is on the line. What do you have there, Brian? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have two rookie cards. Number one is a Johnny Bench rookie.
Ooh, how nice a condition is that?
Well, it's PSA graded a 4.5.
Oh, that's not bad. Some of those, you know, that's a lower grade, but some cards that are 4 or 5 in that 6 range can look really nice.
It actually does look really nice to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's only graded 4.5.
You know, sometimes, like, Bill gave the best tip ever last week. If you go in a dark room and put a bright light on it, you'll be able to, things will jump out. And then if you have a 10-time magnifier and you put that on top of it, I bet you'll see a couple of things that you'll be like, whoa, I didn't know. With the naked eye or in regular light, you wouldn't see. So you might want to check that out.
I remember him saying that last week.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll do that.
Well, good to hear you're a regular listener, Brian.
Pardon me?
Good to hear you're a regular listener. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My other one is a Mike Trout rookie. It's a Topps Heritage graded at 10 by GMA.
Ooh, a GMA. Okay, that's the bad news. GMA wouldn't be considered a legitimate card grader. I would actually get that broken out and have either BGS from Beckett or PSA grade that card on a newer card like that, but... Like we're talking about, we're giving away the Mike Trout bobblehead this week. He's the best player in baseball. To me, he's the Willie Mays of this generation. And
I agree with that.
I haven't had that Topps Heritage card or a graded version, but I know his Topps update sells for $7,500 ungraded. So, I mean, that's a good card, and the future looks real bright for it, too. Hopefully we'll end up on the White Sox. I don't think that's going to happen, but... Now, the Cubs would actually have the prospects, probably the young guys, where they could trade for them, but their lineup's so good already, I don't know. I guess we'll have to see how they do this year in the playoffs. What do you think about that, Vince?
I'm a little nervous they clinched so quick, you know. I'd rather have them have that momentum playing well at the end of the season to carry over into the playoffs versus clinching it this week, and you got several weeks to go, and curious how it's all going to go down, but happy to see him in the playoffs.
The key is that they're on a roll when the playoffs start. That's what you have to hope for.
Got to get to the World Series.
And that Bill Huggins nasty gnats don't disable the Cubby squad. Well, thanks for the call, Brian. That would be really good.
Dusty Baker leading the way from Washington.
Yeah, think about all that stuff. Yeah, I wonder if Bartman would be at those games.
There you go. No more of that.
The duster. Well, it's time for a short break. The number is 312-332-3776. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles, giving away a Mike Trout bobblehead. You can call us, or if you tweet a picture of an item, T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID, and we use it on the show. You get in the drawing also. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We have a Mike Trout bobblehead to give away this week to one caller. 312-332-3776 is the number here if you have a question about the value of an item, or you can tweet a picture of an item. T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. Or during the week, you can bring something in to Triple Crown in Naperville, and if I take pictures, tweet it, we use it on the show, you get in the drawing that way. So it's time once again for... I like this, Vince.
Yes.
I think we got to try to do this every week if we can. Which ended higher in the most recent Huggins and Scott auction? Now, as we said at the start of the show when we were talking about the George Washington signed discharge certificate, it's not just sports items that you can put in Huggins and Scott auctions. Which non-sports set ended higher in the August Huggins and Scott auction. Okay, there's a 1957 Topps Robin Hood PSA grade. I didn't know there was a 57 Robin Hood set, but there 57 Topps Robin Hood PSA graded complete set of 60 cards, number 6 on the registry. Ooh, so that's a nice high grade. Okay, the second set, 1955 Topps Rails and Sails. Another thing I had never knew before this auction. Rails and Sails, complete set of 200 cards with numerous high-grade examples in this 200-card set. And then a 1910 to 1912 T68 Heroes of History, complete PSA-graded two-series set of 100 cards, number 5 on the PSA registry. So this is a toughie. Well, not having heard of any of these beforehand.
The Rails and Sails, is that trains and things like that?
And boats. Like, trains and boats and rails and sails.
Transportation.
All that stuff.
And I'm going with the 1910, 1912. That's just too long ago that I think that's going to be the most
And number
valuable.
5 on the registry. Yes, that's probably what I would have guessed also.
That's right.
But, but that's not it.
Ah. Is it the trains and sails?
It is. Yeah. Okay. The highest price, the rails and sails, went for $2,900. That's something. I've never even seen one of those cards before.
First time I heard of it.
And then second was the 1910 to 12 set, $1,400.
Wow.
Third, Robin Hood, hanging in there at $1,100, which isn't bad, but it was third on
it's
this
a good
group.
Showing for the bronze position.
So just know that if you do have some vintage, non-sports stuff, don't think it has no value. I mean, even if you have something like the Three Stooges set, right? I get to, just to give me a chance to play that. But there's value there.
Yep.
What, Bill, is that's like a 1958, the Stooges that had a set? Mo, Larry, and Curly, I think, were card number 1, 2, 3?
I think it was 59, but yeah. They did 59, and then again in 60. Or something like that. They did two of them.
Oh, I hope they didn't have Curly Joe in 66. I bet they did. All right. Mike from Naperville's on the line. What do you have there, Mike?
Yes, sir. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Terrific. I've got two items. The first one is a football autographed by Walter Payton. It doesn't say Walter Payton on it. He autographed it Sweetness 34.
But didn't add Walter on there, huh?
No, it just says Sweetness 34. It's one of those footballs that has a white area on it.
Okay, white panel. Huh. Now, I've seen he did for Steiner Sports in the 90s, he did a big signing with them, and he did sign a lot of footballs where he had Walter Payton, Sweetness, and 34 on them, and those sell for $500 or $600. I don't know, without Walter Payton on there, Bill, what do you think? Maybe still a couple hundred, or what would you think?
Yeah, I want to say it's very unique to have him not sign his name and to only put that little inscription on there. So, that's a different one. And sometimes different is not bad.
Sometimes, yeah. Now, they've done that. You see that sometimes in the newer card sets where the guys are supposed to sign the card and put an inscription on it, and sometimes they'll put an inscription and forget to sign their name on it. And so I don't think they typically that doesn't do any better than it would than the name and the inscription. But it is definitely something that you can talk about. It's a good one, and I would think at least a couple hundred dollars. I don't know that it goes as high as the one with his full signature on it, though.
Okay. The second item is a baseball signed by the entire 1972 Cincinnati Reds big machine.
Ooh,
so you've got Bench, you've got Rose, you've got Perez, number of Hall of Famers on that ball.
The big red machine, yeah. Now, was 72 one of their – they didn't win the World Series that year, right?
The A's did.
Yeah, the A's were – that was part of their 3 years in a row. So that's still a really good ball. What do you think, Bill, compared to like 75, for instance, when they did win the World Series.
Well, are you sure it's not a 75? How do you know it's a 72?
No, I know for a fact it was 72. It was linked to a function that the ball was signed by that year.
Okay. And usually you
It's still a few $100s. It would be probably twice that if it could be linked to the 75-76 red.
Yeah. A lot of times there's a player or two that were only you can see that they were on the Reds in 72 but weren't on in a later year, and if they're on that, then that solidifies it, too.
Okay.
Yeah, neat ball, though, Jeff, without a doubt. Now, Bill, either or both of those, would you want them in a Huggins and Scott auction?
They would both sell, for sure, yes. They just would get authenticated. But
yeah.
Yeah, those would sell for, you know, several hundred dollars a piece or more.
Okay, so those would be, if you do decide you ever want to sell them, they would be worth sending in to Huggins and Scott auctions. And, you know, speaking of signed baseballs, in the upcoming October-November auction, you don't see this very often. The 1955 Brooklyn Dodgers, there's a team-signed baseball with Campanella and Jackie Robinson, and there's no clubhouse signatures on this ball. A lot of times, Bill, wasn't that the year that like there would be three names in a row, and if they were, you knew that the clubhouse guys signed them or the secretaries or whatever, and more often than not.
It's Robinson, Campy, and I think it was Clem Levine, the third one there. With their 1-2-3, it was signed by Little Jimmy, the clubhouse boy.
Yeah, right. And the value is not as good. So this will be interesting to see how that one does. That's going to be bidding starts October 31st and goes through November 10th in the October-November Huggins and Scott auction. We've got Jeff from Elburn on the line. What's new, Jeff? Thanks for the call.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
Hey, I have a professionally framed Brian Urlacher autograph with him holding up the NFC Championship trophy.
Okay. I'm sorry, did you say this was a painting?
No, it's a signed picture of Urlacher.
Okay.
And I also have two tickets from the NFC Championship game.
Oh, that's good.
And a piece of confetti.
That was flying around that day?
Yeah, we were in the second row.
Oh, cool. Now, do you have them all framed together in one thing?
Yeah, it's all framed together in one.
And is the photo an 8x10 or bigger?
It's 8x10. And he's, like I said, Urlacher's holding up the NFC Championship.
Yeah,
trophy.
That's pretty cool. I would think, along with the tickets, Bill, what do you think? You think that hits 300 to 500 with the tickets in there also?
Yeah, I think that's probably close to that range and stuff like that. It's something. The tickets were from which game, he said?
The
NFC Championship game.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which actually sent them to the Super Bowl, which was kind of cool that they, although once they got to the Super Bowl, Rex Grossman reminded me of Mo a couple of times playing quarterback.
Yeah.
Remember the one time where it was rainy and he fumbled it, and it went through his legs. And all I thought of, that reminded me of the Three Stooges and Moe in that old football game where then everybody would pile on him. That wasn't good.
That game started off so promising.
It did with the kickoff touchdown. Return. Jeez. It's like, oh. We were just talking about Hester yesterday at T-Crown, whether he should be in the Hall of Fame or not when he retires. I think so. Because I think he's the best kick returner I've ever seen.
And he's leading the category in touchdowns, so you got to put the best guy in there, I think.
I think so, too. Now, it might take a while, but he's also, I always thought no runner would ever top an open field runner, Gale Sayers, but I think Hester might have done it. His open field running ability was just incredible. So I could see him getting in for sure.
I don't know how they just didn't find a way to use him in the regular offense to put him in positions to actually, you know.
He didn't seem to be a real good route runner, you know, it is really what it boils down to on that. But, yeah, I wonder if they ever tried him at running back or whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, you have to – he just – whatever for whatever reason, when he had the whole field there.
Yep.
I remember reading something by him one time where he said – he kind of just would notice the colors of the jerseys coming and he'd try to run away from the other team jerseys, you know what I mean? And then he'd cut, and he was fast, and amazing. Boy, it worked.
Maybe they should have just pitched it back 10 yards, you know, put him in the backfield, have him go back, pitch it back 20 yards, and so he could do something with it. You
right, kind of like Run, Forrest, Run. That's what it reminded me of sometimes. Now we got A. Ferris sent a picture of an item here. This is a 94 Columbus Clippers team sign ball in Sharpie, which on a base, it actually, for being in Sharpie, it still doesn't look too bad, but that has Derek Jeter on it, which is pretty cool. Have you seen one of those teams run with a Jeter minor league signature, Bill?
I don't remember if we have had one of those. That would be interesting for sure.
That would be, I would think. And he's got a picture to my attention if anybody wants to look at it. The ball, it almost looks like it's a game used ball. It's kind of like a brownish look to the ball. But
if it was from Jeter when he was 13, we'd get our other guy to do it.
Yeah, he'd be bitten for sure on that. Jeter must have been what, 18 or 19 at least at that time. Yeah, so that's a neat ball. That would be one worth trying in a Huggins and Scott auction, don't you think, Bill?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, well, the number's three. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, there could have been more than one other guy who made it to the big leagues on that thing. I'd love to see the whole roster.
Yeah, I can't really tell the names on here. The other couple of guys right above Jeter don't look like they're anybody I heard of. But, that would be interesting to see that roster. Well, it's time for a short break now. The number's 312-332-3776. We're giving away a Mike Trout bobblehead to one caller, or if you tweet a picture to my attention, T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID, and we use it on the show. You get in the drawing that way also. So hang in there. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We have a Mike Trout bobblehead to give away as our prize package this week. The winner that Vince will announce at the end of the show just has to email Vince at ERC Delivery, and ERC Delivery will deliver free of charge right to your door. Vince, you were looking up
the 1994 Columbus Clippers, managed by Stump Merrill, also had Andy Pettit, Jorge Posada, and Mariano Rivera.
Oh my gosh.
So if they're on that baseball, that's going to be huge.
If that was a team signed baseball, with that's the whole guts of their recent dynasty where they were winning those titles. Yep. Bill, what would you think a team signed ball with all those guys from minor leagues would do?
I think that's 1,000+.
I do too. Yeah. Now, A. Ferris just said that Jeter's the best name on it by far, so he must not have had team signed ball. But anybody out there, if you have the Columbus Clippers from 94 with all of them.
Yep. Rich Hines was also on that team.
The Rich Hines?
Yes.
Hines Ketchup?
He could be. But, you know, Mrs. Hines, the mother, want the shout out today, so Rich Hines was
there
on
you
that
go.
Team too.
That's a biggie. Now, this one, though, just if it is just Jeter and a few other guys and not the other guys, you think you still would want to try that in the Huggins and Scott auction, Bill?
Sure, although I can't imagine if he's got a team side ball that it's missing all those other people.
Well, he might only have a few. He just says 94 Columbus Clippers with Jeter in Sharpie. He didn't say it's a team sign, so and I only see like four or five of them. So I don't know how many total. If he can tweet that, we'll find out for sure. But I don't think he's got a team sign ball. And it would be too late now to get the other guys on there now. It wouldn't be as – I guess it would be cool if you just wanted to have it. But it wouldn't be the same as if they had all signed it back at that time. Now let's go back to some of the items that are already previewed at Huggins and Scott. .com for the October-November Huggins and Scott auction. Bidding begins on Halloween, October 31st, and runs through November 10th. This is kind of an interesting item here. A nice condition 1971 Topps Greatest Moments complete set of 55 cards. There's a $750 minimum bid on this. I don't see these every day. It had guys like Thurman Munson, Reggie Jackson, Bench, Pete Rose in it. PSA has yet to give a 10 grade to any card from the 1971 Topps Greatest Moments. I looked it up. They think it was a test issue in select Brooklyn area stores. They think it probably came out of packs. They're not 100% sure, or they weren't at the time. Have you gotten any update on that, Bill, or is that where you think those cards originally came from?
Well, it was certainly what they called a test issue back then, in that time. That was Topps' whole big era for running all those test issue sets with the 3D cards and all sorts of other different things. And the I'm not sure where it was issued, but I guess maybe our research staff found some areas that it was issued. I think they did come in packs. They really had to, because there was no way you could just walk around and hand them out to people.
Yeah, and I think occasionally some of them had a wax stain on them or something in the one thing I was reading about it. Now, Bill, one of our listeners has a smaller lot of 1971 Topps baseball with the stars, but they're probably be 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 Topps condition for the guys. Is that a lot, do you think, that would be good enough for you to run in Huggins and Scott, or is that not quite there?
Are you talking about the set, the Greatest Moments, or regular
set? No, the regular set.
There again, that would probably be something I'd have to see it more.
Yeah.
You say it's a near set with.
No, it's a smaller lot, but he has most of the stars, most of the money cards. And you know how the black borders, they show a lot of stuff, but some of them looked pretty good. Some of, like I say, maybe 2 to 6 condition on the group.
That's a tough call. I mean, if he had a bunch of the high numbers and semi-high numbers,
okay.
If he didn't, I'd probably say no.
Okay. I'm sure he's listening. If he brings them back in, we'll look it over. Maybe we'll call your place if he brings them in again and see what you guys think. Now, Zills sent me something here. I think I'm going to need a little more info on this, Zills. He's got it. His dad was carpenter foreman at Soldier Field from 83 to 97. And he's got, it's a wooden piece with a, it looks like, I don't know if it was nailed to it, the NFL Today, like the full color CBS logo thing on it for the NFL Today. It's kind of cool. I'm not 100% sure what it is. I think there's some value to it, Zills. But Bill, without seeing that, if he had an original display that was at Soldier Field during that time, is that kind of cool? I think it would be cool to have on the wall, but you think definitely. There's much value to that?
I was going to say, that almost sounds like a better tea crown.
I think we could hammer that to the wall at tea crown, blast a couple things out of the way, hammer that up on the wall. I think it'd be a good conversation piece, Zills. So I don't know that I'm going to give you much money, Zills, but I like it. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And you don't see it every day, without a doubt.
Unique.
So, okay, what else came? Oh, the fantasy football show follows us now from 8 to 9. And I had to say
how's
a little
your team
bit.
Doing?
Well, the one in the bigger money league that I'm in with you, I had a good first week, and that was with Todd Gurley doing absolutely nothing. I'm thinking they can't be that bad. If they are going to be that bad for the next couple of games, I don't think Jeff Fisher can stay as their coach. They can't be that bad. But luckily for me, the guy who came through with what I was hoping Todd Gurley would do was Spencer Ware. Yes. Wow, he had a huge week. I think he might have hurt his toe a little bit. I hope he's okay
he's
to play
playing
today.
Yeah, he's
I hope he does close to as well. They got to get. We were talking about this before the show. If you've got a team with it's the quarterback doesn't have a strong arm. Your receivers maybe you don't have a real speedster. Well, you got to be able to have a guy when they're stacking against you that can call audibles and do play actions and things. If he can't do that, then get a different quarterback in there. But that's probably why they don't want to use Jared Goff right away, because they don't want to get him killed. He probably doesn't know how to read defenses enough yet to be able to do it.
But... we're going to go up against Seattle today, so we'll see how he does. And if he doesn't fare well, I think Mannion is due up next.
You would hope, and then Goff by happens, the end of the year. Yeah. And then they play for the first pick again, maybe.
Yes.
Coming off of that horrible offensive performance, and now you play Seattle? Oh, my gosh.
They got a home game, their first home game in L.A. today. Yeah, hopefully that'll see what happens. Yep.
I hope they pass some to Gurley and get him the ball different ways.
Yep.
And Spencer Ware, I hope you got it in you again this week. But in the other league, in Romo's league, it's not money, but there's pride. There's a little bit of money.
You almost came back and won that.
I almost did, last week. But here's where I don't feel good about this season at all. First week, my second round pick, Keenan Allen, hurts his knee in the second quarter. He's out for the year, okay? And he had six catches already. Mm-hmm. He was looking good. This week, I'm playing Romo. His second round receiver gets hurts his knee in the second quarter. Brandon Marshall. Not only does he come back, he comes back and plays well enough to get 101 yards, which is 1 yard more than needed to get an extra 2 points for passing 100 yards. I'm thinking, this season's just not stacking up well for me. And your team in that league killed it the first week.
I had a great first week.
You really did.
Antonio Brown, it's nice to have. But it's Romo's league, so when you go up against Romo, the guy whose name is on the league, you got to take him down.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
We're all rooting against you, Romo.
I know.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
Every week.
So we'll see what happens, but fantasy football is definitely
fun.
And don't forget, after our show, Jeff Miller has his fantasy football show, which I like to listen to on the way home from the show to hear things on updates like these injuries on Spencer Ware and couple other guys were banged up a little. I think D'Angelo Williams, in Romo's league, what a great week he had.
Yes.
And I don't think he was practicing earlier, but I don't think he's hurt. He was probably he's getting older and just resting up.
It's going to be a tough game today, Pittsburgh-Cincinnati.
Their run defense is good. And that's a rivalry now.
Huge rivalry. Yeah. It'll be a good game to watch.
That will be, actually. And then the Bears are Monday night, right?
They're going to win this week. You heard it here first, or maybe second or third, but they're going to win on Monday night.
I hope so. Yep. I hope you're right. I hope their defense really comes up big. I was thinking of picking up their defense, actually, for this week, but I ended up doing the Ravens D because you got the Browns with the backup. Although, Josh McCown, maybe he's even going to be better than RG3. Who knows? You never know.
They're going to blitz Carson Wentz on Monday night and just keep blitzing him.
I hope they put a lot of pressure on him.
Yep.
The only thing I'm worried about with the Bears' defense is their coverage, their defensive backfield, because I like their front guys. I think they could be very good this year, their front seven, at least. So at least we have something to watch. And now if their offensive line can block, and they run some their first half last week was actually very good.
Yes.
And the second half, their defense wasn't bad. But, man, after Cutler gets a couple of hits, his awareness just seems to really kind of
woozy.
The second half, their offense was not good at all.
Yep.
The offensive line has to do better than that. Zills just tweeted me about this NFL Today piece. He cut the drop cloth background of the broadcaster booth and mounted it to a board to display. That's cool. Like I say, Zills, I'd look great on the wall at T-Crown. The NFL Today. And
there you go.
I would like that. I don't think Bill wants it in the Huggins and the Scott Hodge. We've got this giant wooden piece comes, and it's got some little, thing tacked to it. But it's neat, Zills. Don't get me wrong. It's neat.
Hey, we could pick that up. ERC could pick that up easily, no problem at all.
Yeah,
so you
want
it moved?
Send
it
to T-Crown.
No problem.
ERC will deliver. Now, I don't know if that one would be free of charge, though. There might be a charge to that one.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, some other items coming up in the Huggins and Scott October-November auction. You can go to HugginsandScott.com to see the items. Bidding begins Halloween, October 31st, and goes through November 10th. This is kind of interesting. A Thurman Munson signed magazine photo, 5 inches by 5 inches, and it's actually PSA DNA slabbed and authenticated, $250 minimum bid. Now, I know regular, just an 8x10 of Thurman, those go for $1,500 or more typically. So it'll be interesting to see how this magazine photo does. It's a 9 signature, but it kind of blends in a little bit in the background of the black and white magazine photo, but it's cool. It looks neat in the PSA DNA holder. So we'll see how that goes. And then speaking of in a PSA holder, this is something we've talked about in past shows. This should do really well. This is a Bill Russell 1957 Topps rookie card signed by Bill Russell. So it's a PSA 5 graded card, which is going to be a nice looking card with a PSA 10 autograph. So it's a beautiful autograph on a PSA 5 card. A $3,000 minimum bid on that one. I bet you've never had one of those in your auction before, have you, Bill? Or maybe you have.
I don't think so. I think that's the first one we've had a signed rookie card. I think we've had signed reprint rookie cards and other signed things, but not the not an original 57 Topps card. So, yeah, there's probably not a lot of them out there.
I think that's going to do really well. That's going to be, we're going to keep track of that one and watch and see how that does. Because, you know, Bill Russell in the old days, when he was playing, he wouldn't even sign for his teammates.
Really?
I remember reading something. Satch Sanders was complaining. He's like, you know, we're supposed to have each other's backs, and he won't sign my team signed championship ball or whatever.
What was his reason?
I think he felt it meant more to shake somebody's hand and meet him than to sign.
Right.
But now,
gotcha.
Since he's retired, he's done shows, and he is starting to sign things. So okay. It's already the end of the show. Time to do the drawing.
All right, this week's winner is Brian from Buffalo Grove. So, Brian, email me, vince@ercdelivery.com. We'll get back to you. Send me your address. I'll deliver free to your door, free of charge.
And make sure you email vince@ercdelivery by Thursday. And you've got the Mike Trout bobblehead coming to you.
And if it's not, you don't email me by Thursday, Brian, I'm putting it on my shelf.
No, because you're not getting it from me, Vince. I like Trouty. I don't know. Maybe it would end up in a different auction, in a different giveaway week.
Sounds good.
Now, don't forget to stay tuned for the Fantasy Football Show with Jeff Meller and Adam Abdallah coming up next. Go to HugginsandScott.com to check the previews and TCrownTom.com. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening.